Amen. Let's go to John 3:16 and 17. We're going to read those two verses out loud. Central theme of the Bible. Are you there? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I told you that God calls this message the church community. And that's very important because we need to understand that we are a community. And I'll explain why that's so in a few moments. But how many of you know that there are foundations, there are fundamentals, basics to everything? Right? You understand? Everything has a fundamental. I mean, you could say basic fundamental, but fundamental also means basic. And if you get away from those fundamentals, the bottom falls out. One of the reasons it's hard for me to watch basketball games now is because most of the players are not fundamentally sound. They're talented, they're athletic, but they lack fundamentals. And so it's hard for me, being someone who was fundamentally sound, to watch these folks, you know, get paid what they get paid, and they don't understand the very, 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 very basic concepts of how you play the game. That right? Right, so you know, you're old school like I am, right? But there are some very basic principles that we need to understand as members of a community. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to start at verse 12, and I'm going to read down to verse 27, and I'm in the King James Version. And Paul wrote, are we all there? Because I want you to see it. So you'll hear pages turning, so that means all the electronic Bibles are there. All right, okay. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being members are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? Every time I read that, I think of that movie from the 50s called A Crawling Eye. Okay. You remember that movie? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, listen to this, folks. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those I'll tell you something. You lose your pinky toe, you have to go through therapy to learn how to walk again. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And this is why he did it, that there should be no schism in the body. But there should be no schism in the body. There should be no schism in the community. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I want you to ask you a question. If you want to move, looking for a home, what's the most important thing to consider? Say it loud. Actually, it's location, location, location. Okay. Realtors will let you know that. See, you want to know, is the neighborhood stable? Right? How many of you want to move into an unstable neighborhood? Right. Is the neighborhood safe? I know some of us are. I heard you back there. Is the neighborhood safe? Is it friendly? Are there any undesirables? Are there any hazards in the neighborhood? When we decided that we wanted to move closer to the church, we began looking, we talked to a realtor, and we told them what we were looking for. First, I was taking us places that didn't fit what we said. Some appeared to. And we said, no, right now, there's nobody on out. You know, is it an hour of the day? Everybody's inside. I said, no, I can't get a feel for this neighborhood. We said, we have to come back. We're going to come back Saturday about 1, 2, 3 o'clock, see what's going on. We came back and we're like, no, we're not moving here. Don't ask me where it is because I'm not going to tell you. Well, see, when you look up the definition of neighborhood, it says community. It says community. So if you're looking for a home, you want to look at a sound community. You want to make sure that you're making a good investment, because if there's something wrong with the community, the value of your home drops. It drops. And if the value of the homes drop, then the economic climate of that particular community drops. So it's very important that communities are stable and that the people in those communities are friendly. They work together. All right. After we investigated the community, of course, we selected one and everything was fine, but then we found out that the folks in that community weren't as selective anymore, and so we found a different community where we're very, very comfortable with. So why am I telling you this? Well, first of all, when you look up the definition of community, it's defined as a social or religious or occupational or other group sharing common characteristics or interests. And it's perceived as being distinct in some respect from a larger society in which it exists. Well, see, it doesn't matter if the pastors can preach heaven down. It doesn't matter if the leadership here can teach until you know the Bible backwards, forwards, and how to make everything work. What's important to someone coming through those doors, what's the climate of this community? What are the people? What are they like? Are they friendly? Do they cooperate? Is there unity among the community? All of those are very important things. And if it's not, then they're going to look for it. See, when you hear about something, and what you hear is good, an excitement starts to develop, does it not? And you have an expectation based on what you have been told. You have an expectation as to what's going to happen when you go and visit that community. We're going to do an experiment. Okay. Want you to listen to this. You can react to it if you want to. Would you play that for me, guys?
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Not quite what you expected, is it? But think about what happened to you. When you heard the opening chorus, you were like, yeah, yeah, we're getting ready to go. And then it was like, what is that? Okay. This thing, what was that? That's a mess. It's all mixed up. Oh, that's not the way I know that to be. Well, when folks come into this community and they hear about the legacy of this community and they still hear Pastor Sarah on the air and they come here and they have this expectation and we have to determine what is it they're going to see when they get here. Are they going to get what they expected, or are they going to get something that's disjointed? Because some of you tried to hang in there with it for a little bit. You said, well, maybe they'll get it right. Okay. You say, are they playing 45s or something that's scratching? What is? But then after a while, folks just said, everybody just stopped. Well, that's the same attitude that will happen when first-time guests come in here and they come looking for a church home, looking for a church community, and they don't see unity in the community. They see things all jumbled up. And they're like, that's not what we heard about this place. And they'll decide this isn't for them. And we have to understand what underscores all of this. They didn't come of their own accord. God directed them here. And he directed them here because he trusts that we're going to do what's right. And they get here and they find a whole lot of stuff going on. Their excitement wanes. Unity doesn't mean that there's a large group of people in the same place. That's not unity. That just means they're in the same place. If you're going to be unified, you're going to be in the same place, and you're going to be on one accord. And every single member is going to be doing their part. And not looking at what the other parts are doing. They're so focused on what they were placed here to do that they didn't look at the other parts. That's one of the things Mrs. Perkins used to do. She focused on what she was called to do. And she did that. She did that. You remember the 120 in the upper room? They were all in one place. But before the Holy Ghost could fall on all of them, what had to happen? Yes, that's why. Because I was thinking about it. I said, why did the Bible emphasize they were all in one place and they were all on in one accord? Because that agreement was necessary. And the agreement here is still necessary. See, remember we read in 1 Corinthians 12 that God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, and he did that so that there wouldn't be any schism? Well, schism means division, dissension. It's a deviation from unity. And any form of schism is a deviation from unity. And usually, according to the dictionary, their ecclesiastical definition is that schism is the result of doctrinal differences. But we've brought that up to this century. Schism means you don't like what's going on, so you get with some more people and find out they don't like what's going on, and so you have your own group. You know, that's a schism. You have to ask yourself, because when people come in here, when new folks come in, they look to see what's going on. They look. They listen, of course, because they want to make sure that the word being taught is accurate. But they wait to see what's going to happen. When they leave, are they going to get a warm greeting or a cold shoulder? We have to ask ourselves that. Are we going to be so wrapped up in our post-service plans and fellowship with those that we have already established relationships with? Or are we going to be scanning the area and saying, hey, I don't know that person. Let me go over and introduce myself. Let me give them a hug. Let me know that I'm glad to see them. Let me see if they want to join us for lunch. Strong community. Strong community. There was a definition. Let me just jump to it. I can find there's a definition that I read about community. And I found it. It was a blog from one of our pastor friends' ministry. And it talked about community. Just give me a moment, please. Come on. It's really a good definition. If I can find it. That's why paper notes are a little bitter. Sometimes. Sometimes. Somebody said, I don't think so. It says, this isn't the part I wanted to read, I was thinking about, but this is part of it. As a church community, we must have interaction with others at a level where there are authentic relationships, where there is sharing life together, where there is deep care and concern for one another, and where transparency and openness is cultivated. You think about that. Folks need to feel very comfortable coming here and sharing their heart with another member of the community. And they should feel very, very safe doing so. They don't expect to see what they share out on the marquee. You know, they don't expect that. But they expect to get answers. They expect to feel a sense of belonging. And they need to understand that they're part of something that is bigger than themselves. We all need to understand that. Look at Ephesians 4, please. I'm going to share verses 15 and 16 out of the Amplified Bible. It says, rather let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of him, Christ, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly. See, that lets you know that whatever part God wants you to play, he's already given you the power to do it. It's working properly in all its functions, and it causes the body to grow to full maturity, building itself up in love. And this is how the New Living Translation puts it. It says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Folks, those are foundational principles of the community. Each part must do its own special work. So that means whatever part you're called to play here in this community, we need you to understand how special that part is. And all of the other parts cannot function properly if you're not in place. If you're too busy looking at what someone else is doing and wishing you had that job, the whole community cannot grow. The whole community will not reach full maturity. And I'll tell you something. We don't pray people away. We don't. And now some of you thought, you know, we can just pray them away. Really? Find me scripture and verse. A new commandment I give you, pray those away that bother you. Just the opposite of what I did, you do. Is that what Christ said?
No.
What did he say? Go ahead, say it. Go, say it. He said, love one another. And he defined it. He said, the same way I love you. The same way. Well, he never prayed any of us away. Because if he had that attitude, none of us would be here. I need to think about that. He'd have prayed away the whole human race. But instead, using part of his last breath, he said, Father, forgive them. And that needs to be our attitude. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, because if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't be doing it. The Bible tells us why people do things. Every man is right in his own eyes. Okay. But even with that, it's not our responsibility to point out to everyone what their shortcomings are. That's not our responsibility, is to continue to do the work that God has called us to do as part of this community. And I think it's so important, because I was like, God, why are we sharing this? Well, we have we just started an auxiliary of the church called Community Outreach. And it's starting with the food distribution program that internally we call Food by Love. Food by Love. From a community called Redeeming Love. And that is going to cause people to come in. Now, we're not doing it because we want to bring the people in. We're doing it because that's what God said to do. But as a residual of that, people are going to come in. They're going to want to see and meet the people that have reached out and that are helping them. We have to be mindful of what they see when they come. And I'm not saying this because, you know, events have happened and folks have done some wacky things. No, that's not why we're sharing this. We're sharing this because we're just bringing to remembrance this is fundamental. This is what how God expects that we operate. As Elder Valerie says, this is how we roll. And we need to understand that because we don't want to ever disappoint God. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to walk through it out of the Message Bible. And start at verse 12 in 1 Corinthians 12. Message Bible says, you can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he, Christ, has the final say in everything. That's what we did when we said, Jesus, be Lord of my life. We gave him the final say in everything. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew, Greek, slave, free, foots, whatever it was, okay, are no longer useful. We need something larger. We need something more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong on this body, would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from your body? And I'm going to add, I'm not adding to the word, but I'm adding a different thought here. The reverse of what I just read is also true. And really, that's what usually happens. See, the eye says to the ear, you don't look like me. I haven't heard anyone say, I want to gaze into your ear. Probably filled with wax anyway. I haven't heard the hand saying to the foot, you got any rings on your toes? Look at what I have here. And you want to come up here with me? No, that's not how the body functions. That's not how the body functions. Say that to your neighbor. Tell him that's not how the body functions. See, just because we may think something is not valuable and doesn't belong in the community doesn't mean we're right. You know why? We're not the author. The reason that song sounded so horribly is because we didn't go with the arrangement of the author. We decided that we could do it better. We didn't like the way he put the parts together, so we rearranged them. And we made a mess. And we took something that was designed to minister and cause it to be a source of confusion and wonder. Like, what's going on with this song? And what's going on with these people? Why are they playing that? We need to learn how to respect God's choice, because the Bible tells us that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. Tell your neighbor, do you know you're right where God wants you? But I also want you, this is verse 19, but I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter, please get this, folks, please. No matter how significant you are, it's only because of what you're a part of. No matter how significant you are, and you are significant, it's only because of what you're a part of. See, in sports, in basketball, if there are 15 players on a team and you're number 15, and you only get into a game when it's either hopelessly won or hopelessly lost, they'll put you in, and then they won't put you in until there's like 30 seconds left. Okay. But if they win the championship, you get the same thing everybody else gets. You become a hero. What? Not because of your individual accomplishment, but because you were part of a championship team. And it's the same thing in the community here. I'm only significant as the pastor is because I'm the pastor of this community. If there's no community, I'm not here. It's because of the community that what I do means anything. It's because of the community that what you do here means something. And you need to know that what you do is meaningful, is valuable, and is needed for the health of the community. It says, an enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size, and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. No part is important on its own. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic, and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your body, you are concerned with it. It makes no difference whether the part is visible or closed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is without comparisons. No one expects their liver to look like their mouth. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to make a choice, would you prefer good digestion or full-bodied hair? If you don't have good digestion, your full-bodied hair will become frazzled. Okay. All right. But that's the way you have to look at this. Now pay close attention to this part, verse 25. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. And he told me to say as a church community. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If suddenly you got a sharp, sharp burning pain in your left shoulder, your right hand is immediately going to go like this and try and give it some relief. It's not going to ask it any questions. It's not going to say, what did you do to cause this? Maybe you need to read your word some more. Where did you miss it? Because after all, we're healed in Jesus' name, so you're not sick.
No, it just comes, and your fingers will get to the point where they'll wear themselves out trying to give you some relief. And it's not just your hands and fingers. Your eyes may start tearing because of it. And when that pain comes, you squint your eyes, you go like this. Your body does all of those things to try and relieve the pain. And it does it instantly. Instantly. Doesn't think about it. It's like, pain, what can we do to help? And it'll do so as its own detriment. Some of you, some of us, if we have a pain or something's not functioning properly with one leg, we favor that leg when we walk around. Well, it causes the other leg to become fatigued. But it doesn't, and your other leg doesn't say, will you sit down? I'm getting tired. No, it will keep doing whatever it can do to relieve the left leg because it understands it's one body. And I have a responsibility to help my brother out. And it doesn't care what happens. Doesn't say, you have torn ligaments in your ankle playing basketball? You're 55 years old. You don't have any business out there playing basketball thinking you're a little kid. You don't have any hops anymore. Now you have limps. Okay? All right. It doesn't ask you those questions. All it does is what's necessary so that the body can keep moving the direction it's supposed to move. That's what it does. And that's what it's always going to do. And the Bible tells us is that's our best example as to how we're supposed to function as a church community. Okay. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. We are Christ's body. We are the church community. That's who we are, and we must never forget this. Now, please, please hear this part clearly. Only as you accept your part of the body does your part mean anything. If you won't accept where God placed you, doesn't mean anything. And you won't mean anything. We need to stop complaining as to where God placed us and spend that time complaining, finding out why he placed us there. Obviously, he needs a community, part of the church community there. How can you say that? Well, he placed you there. And you're part of this church community. So he wanted a little bit of Nanuet. You name the neighborhood. Call out your neighborhoods. Go ahead, call them out loud. God needed a little bit of this community in that community. So he placed you there. He placed you there. And he expects change to happen because you're there. He expects people to want to come to where you are because of what they see in you while you're operating in your community. When you're functioning as the part God created you to be. It's very important, folks. Too many people take their own lives because they don't understand their purpose. They don't understand why they're here. I'm going to share this account with you. I found this book. We found this book. There was a bookstore that opened here, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. They were selling discount books. I bought a number of these books for a dollar. I think I'm down to two because we've been giving them away. But has anybody ever heard of Elmer Booz? You've heard of Elmer Booz? Okay. He's a real person. He's not fictitious. Let me read you about Elmer. It says, his name is Elmer Booz. He's a professional page turner. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a page turner. His job is to follow the score of a concert pianist plays and turn the pages at the proper time. Okay? His goal is to be as unobtrusive as possible, working quickly and quietly without obscuring the pianist's vision. Booz does his job so well that he's called the ghost. Though he helps the performer be successful, a good page turner doesn't share the bows, nor is he listed in the program. If he has done his, listen to this, folks, if he's done his job right, he remains unnoticed. Nobody even knows he's there. Elmer Booz is content in his work because his anonymous contribution adds value to something bigger than himself. Every time he steps on stage, he helps achieve a goal he could never accomplish alone. Folks, this church community has been called to great things. It cannot accomplish the great things that God called us to do if all the parts want to work independently, and if even one part is seeking the glory. The glory belongs to God. We are who we are because of God. The only reason we have significance is because of what God made us a part of, something much bigger than ourselves as individuals. See, this says partners. I wrote members prefer team success to personal accolades. Team success. And the founder of Promise Keepers said, we have not come together to compete with one another, but to complete one another. We haven't come together to compete with one another. We've come together to complete one another. Folks, I'll say this and then I'm done. To accomplish all of that, we have to first know who we are. And equally as important, we need to know our role and our place in the community. We are not a fragmented song. We follow the order and the placement of the Creator. Amen? Amen. Let's hear the right version of that song. Okay. Let's hear how things are supposed to be done right.